The question was asked, is there an ideal for every person to learn Torah, to only learn Torah? Are there people whose job it is to accomplish other things? And I think we have to address this question from a few angles. From a simple angle, you look at the world, some people don't have the IQ to learn Torah all day. They don't have the patience to learn Torah all day. You can't say every person was created to learn Torah all day. We have to remember the Mabit in his introduction. The Mabit was a contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo. In his introduction, he writes a concept which seems obvious, but it is important to note, that we are not gauged based on our accomplishment only. We are gauged based on the potential that we've achieved. Different people have different potentials, and based on how much of their potential they achieve, that's how each person is gauged. So obviously, it's not fair to compare two people who have different potentials. And the Mabit says, in the world to come, the fact that one person seemingly accomplished more in this world doesn't mean that he really is ahead of the other one, because it's a question of how much of one's potential one has accomplished. So that's point number one. Point number two, we find in the book of Jonah, at the end of the book, that God says, I can't destroy the city of Nineveh. There are so many people and animals. Our tradition says that the comparison between people and animals in Jonah, and in the verse in Prophets that we say every Shabbos at Mincha, Adam uve matoshi Hashem, that there are people who are like animals. In other words, there are people whose intelligence is very, very limited. And God says, I have compassion about them too. So the prophet already addresses this idea that there are people who God doesn't hold as much against. Meaning, if in the city of Nineveh you have many pagans and people who are stealing, and you have a lot of problems with the morality of the city of Nineveh, you have people from whom God does not expect as much and does not hold it against them, that they're not on such a high level. So the Navi, or the prophet, already addresses this idea that not everyone has the same capacity and therefore not everyone has the same expectations. In the Gemara in Tanis and in the book by Rav Nisim Gaon, Sefer Maasiyot, we are told of numerous stories of people who attained great heights through acts of kindness. There's the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the great Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who walked into the Garden of Eden alive, asked Eliyahu, who am I going to be sitting next to in the world to come? And Eliyahu showed him an individual, and then he went and researched who that individual was. And there's a phenomenal story about an act of kindness that that individual did. So here you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who lives his whole life a life of piety, and he lives his whole life doing tremendous mitzvot, and he's shown someone else who did something phenomenal and great, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi learned Torah his whole life. And we say Torah is the biggest mitzvah, even in Shulchan Aruch. It says that. So you see that people have different routes through which they can attain the heights. The fact that Torah is the greatest mitzvah does not mean that for every person, learning Torah alone is the route to get there. Now, we still have to remember that every person has a mitzvah to learn Torah, as the Gemara, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch write. Every person has a mitzvah to learn Torah. And people sometimes think Torah is Gemara. No, Torah is also Chumash and Navi and stories of Medrash and Mishnah and Halacha. So if a person can't hack learning Gemara, he could still learn Torah. He could learn the Midrashim, the stories, the story of Job, stories of Daniel. He could still tell his children those stories. There's still a lot out there that every person can access. And we all have a responsibility to learn Torah. So even though we're saying that yes, different people can attain different heights through different aspects of observancy, that doesn't preclude that every person still has a responsibility to learn Torah. And if one sees that one cannot excel in learning Torah oneself, so as it says in Maimonides and in the Shulchan Aruch, one should fund others who do. Meaning one should still have a role in advancing Torah in the world. Even if one is funding others who learn Torah, one still has the responsibility to learn Torah themselves. But do we say every person is cut out to learn all day and every person should be learning all day? It seems not that way. It seems obvious not that way. Not every person can sit all day. Not every person can learn all day. Not every person has the capacity from many, many angles. And we do not say that a person who's not learning is a failure or a person who's not learning all day is a failure. No, quite the contrary. The Shulchan Aruch, after it brings the halachos of the morning, goes on to the halachos of running a normal business life. the first thing the Shulchan Aruch says is you're going out of shul, so now how do you function? How do you deal with your partners? How do you deal with business? Aside from all of Choshen Mishpat, which discusses the monetary laws, if we have an issue between neighbors or partners, etc., there's also the concept that this is part of Orach Chaim. The codex is divided. You have Orach Chaim, which is the volume which discusses the daily life of a Jew. So within the daily life of a Jew, there is one siman, there is one chapter about how when you leave shul in the morning, then the continuation of your day is you go to work. There is that discussion and there is that understanding. And it seems clear from Chazal that in the ideal world, you see all the sages in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they all had jobs up until the generation of the Rosh, and meaning up until about a millennium ago, all the rabbis had jobs. So there was this idea that you could balance both. There is a discussion, and on some ideal level, is there an ideal level, a utopia to aspire to, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says yes, and Rabbi Shmuel says no, we don't even aspire to that. We don't. That the ideal world is where you can work and you could learn. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, if you're going to work, how are you ever going to learn? How are you ever going to get to the levels you should? And so he interprets the verses that in the utopia, in the ideal world, we can have foreign workers coming here, working our fields, and making a living off that. But even according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he's not going to deny the mitzvahs, what's going on in the world. You know, you do have people who cannot learn. Yeah, and it's not their fault. It cannot be held against them. So there we go to the Rambam. We mentioned earlier, the Rambam in his introduction to Mishnah, the Rambam discusses that there's a world. You need companionship. Even if you're going to learn Torah all day, you don't want to live in a world where you have three great scholars. You want to live in a world where there are masses. If there aren't masses, who's going to make those yummy ragalach we ate this morning? Who's going to make the clothing we're wearing? So the person has the capacity to be a part of the pyramid, a pivotal part of the pyramid. Now, this goes back to another idea in the Rambam, which is also quoted in the Codex in the Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch discusses our day, what our day is supposed to look like, so he says a concept which is quoted in many, many Sfarim, but you should know it's also quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And that is that a lot of life, in much of life, the question is, what is our attitude? Meaning you could have one person who's cleaning the toilets in yeshiva, and all day he's muttering, what a horrible job I have. Then you have someone who says, what a great job I have. Look, I'm an integral part of moving society, moving the world forward. So, when a person has the right attitude, then much of his life can be the performance of mitzvos. As you correctly said, if I'm plowing the field so that people have food, so that people can have sustenance and continue being leading lives the way they should, so I'm doing it for the right reasons. Okay, so that's true, that a person can do other things with the right reasons. If he's really doing it with the right reasons, though, then he's not going to cheat on his taxes. He's going to ensure that he's being 100% honest in his business practices. There are a lot of areas where we can tell what are a person's real intent. So, there are people whose job it's going to be to build shuls and to plow fields, and that's the idea that it says in Mishlei and Proverbs, Kabedet Hashem Mehonecha, honor Hashem from your wealth. Every person has their personal wealth. So although every person has a mitzvah to learn Torah, and whoever can excel in Torah has a mitzvah to excel in Torah, but every person is also given their personal wealth, and every person has to use that wealth in the service of Hashem. So one person can be the top doctor, and one person could be the top electrician, and he's going to use his knowledge of electrician, of being an electrician, to find ways of serving Hashem. That's our job in the world. Whether it's every person is going to find his angle through Torah, no. And that's the idea that the Gra writes on Mishlei. In the Mishlei we have two words. We have Orach and Derech. We have a few words in Mishlei that describe a path. And the Gra writes in Mishlei that in ancient times, the prophet was like a private practitioner. You had a question of how you're going to serve God, so every person could go to the prophet, and the prophet would set up a formula for him. Because no two people are the same, with the same strengths and the same capacity to serve, so therefore you need a prophet to be able to tell you, okay, for you, the system is going to be A or B or C. And so the Gra writes that in the times of the prophets, so part of the prophet's job was to be a private practitioner. You'd come to him, and he'd work with you and set up a formula for you what to focus on in the service of Hashem. So you see in that idea as well, that we don't all have to go the same route. That's why I was bothered when one yeshiva named their yeshiva Sha'ar HaTorah, the Gate of Torah. I much preferred the name of another yeshiva that called it Sha'arei Torah, the gates of Torah, multiple, because there are multiple gates. There isn't just one route that everyone has to go on. There's plenty of room for our different personalities to find our own way in the service of Hashem. And to my mind, that's part of the idea of the Gemara and Tanis that we mentioned earlier in the Sefer Maasiyot, where they quote so many stories about people who made it to such great heights in the world to come, and each one did it in a different route, and they did not do it through Torah. They did it through specific mitzvot. But you see there, it's not a Hasidic concept. You see the concept already in the Talmud, that there are many ways to get to the top. So yes, the biggest mitzvah is learning Torah, and every Jew has a mitzvah to learn Torah, and we should try to learn Torah as much as we can because it is the biggest mitzvah. But at the end of the day, it is correct that there is a responsibility to do all 613 mitzvot, and different people have different strengths, and different people will have different formulas as to how to balance their Torah and observance and working the land, etc.